Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. Well, I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. It is drive time, and yes, indeed, prime time, as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is still the number. If you want to be a part of the show, we welcome you to give us a call at any time. Got a big Monday afternoon show lined up for you today. Got Abe Katzman going to join us here shortly from Jerusalem. You're going to be interested to find out who the Palestinian Authority says is responsible for the Brussels terrorist attack. That'll be one of the part bit of our conversation with Abe. And then later on, we're going to get a quick update from Grant Malloy. You know, our friend Grant is running for the Seminole County Clerk of Courts and Auditor up there. He's got some really good news he's going to deliver on our show today. Mike Bass is going to sit in with us for a while also. So don't hesitate to pick up that phone at any time, though, and give us a call. Boy, do we have a whole lot to talk about. But before we get to that, I want to once again remind you and impress upon you, you're down to now just a little over 2 weeks of entries that you can get in. If you haven't already taken advantage of this, please do take advantage of the free WORL-FM-AM app and get that thing downloaded into your smart device. And I'll have Nick tell you if you've got an Android device, but with your Apple device, all you have to do is go to your app store and search for and download the free WORL-FM-AM app, and you'll be able to participate in our everyday poll questions, which we're going to get to here in just a minute. But you'll also be able to register for that tax day bonus sweepstakes $4,000 drawing. That's right. You can register once a day every day. So please take advantage of that. In the meantime, Nick, real quick, if somebody's got an Android device, I had somebody ask me the other day after you explained it on the air, and of course I couldn't explain it. So once again, tell folks if they have an Android device how they can get their app downloaded.
Yeah, the easiest way to find it, because it's hard for it to come up in search engines. We're working on that with the app creators right now. But in the meantime, all you have to do is go to our official website, am660theanswer.com, and hopefully you go there anyway. Lots of great news there, and lots of great offers to take part in there. But you just click on the little banner that talks about our mobile apps. That'll take you right to the link that you could go to. To get it in your Google Play Store or iTunes Store. So even if you have an Apple device, you don't feel like searching through your App Store there. You just go right to our website and click on the link to the apps right there, and you could get it for Google or which is the Android devices or Apple iTunes. So
all right,
it's all right there.
A one-stop shop that way.
Yep.
All right, what's about today's question?
All right, today's poll question, well, you know, the news just came out today. We know the baseball season's coming up soon. And
well, that's right, starts Sunday.
We're going to have all the Rays action here on AM 660 The Answer, like we have in years past.
Yep.
And we got some good news today. The home opener for the Rays has sold out for the 11th consecutive season.
So excellent.
It's good news. People are excited. So how excited are you? Will the Tampa Bay Rays do well this season? So we have a couple options up there right now. Will the Rays win the World Series? Well, none of our listeners are thinking quite that far
of
right now.
Let's think big now, right?
But we are evenly split right now. Half of the listeners out there believe the Rays will make the playoffs, and half believe they will not.
Ah.
So we'll see where we end up at
all
the
right
end of the show.
Okay. All right. By the way, you remember the question we came up about the Batman and Superman movie?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if the folks who were saying they weren't going to go see changed their mind, because a lot of people did go see it, didn't they?
They did, and you know, this is why I don't listen to critics, because everybody that I've talked to said like Ben Affleck did a great job as Batman, the movie was entertaining, and it was a good view. So yeah, it did just fine by a lot of the fans.
All right. Maybe it helped that it was kind of rainy this weekend, too. Drove a lot of people to the movie theater.
And hail.
Oh yeah, what a mess. All right. And so today's poll question, once again, how are the Rays going to do? Let us know. And the Rays, once again, will start playing again this Sunday as the Major League Baseball season begins. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on a lot of that stuff. All right. Just real quick, there was a shooting at the Capitol building today in the Visitor's Center. Just before airtime, we checked, and the details are still very sketchy. There was a press conference scheduled. I don't know if it actually went off on time or not, but there were conflicting reports. Early on, there was a report that a couple of people had been shot, but then later on, they said, well, maybe not. So I don't have any other details other than that happened, and I have no details in terms of the motive, what the suspect was up to. There was been another shooting going on, if you figuratively speaking, in the political parties. Real quick, old Bernie Sanders shot down Hillary Clinton's hopes of putting a quick end to this campaign cycle with three very impressive victories over the weekend. And I don't know, but did you see it? Did you see it when the little bird visited the burn? Was that an omen, a sign? The little bird that perched right up on his podium, right in front of him. It was a very unique sight to see. If you haven't seen it, try to find it on YouTube. But Bernie Sanders had a big weekend, but he's still up against this, fixed primary, and there's no other way you can describe what's going on the Democrat side. We'll get to the Republican side here in a second, but on the Democrat side, with all these so-called super delegates, one of which, by the way, today changed their allegiance from Hillary to Bernie, which gives him about 26 or 27, while she's got three or four hundred of these super delegates. You take away the super delegates, and this is a real race. This is a real fight the way it should be. Bernie Sanders is giving Hillary Clinton a run for her money, and it should be reflected in the delegate count. There's what's going on in both parties. We as American citizens need to demand that these practices of the parties manipulating the process and having us vote just for the heck of it needs to be re-examined, if not outright ended. This is nonsense. And I tell you what, if I was a Bernie Sanders person, I would be livid. I would be absolutely livid, because he is giving this woman a run for her money. And we'll see where it goes from here, but he certainly had a huge weekend. All right. Now, on the other side, the Republicans continue to, figuratively speaking, shoot one another and do everything that they can to ensure that whoever gets the nomination is going to be a loser. It came to me that we are in a – well – Let me just put it this way. The realization that these Republicans are now pretty much intent on losing came to me when Lindsey Graham said last week in an interview, "We're going to lose anyway, so I'd rather lose with Cruz." So is this our mantra? Is this where we have gotten to, that we would rather lose with Cruz? Is that where we have come to? Because certainly that's what it appears to be that we're after, is to once again steal defeat from the jaws of victory. And there's plenty of blame to go around. All the candidates, all the campaigns, the parties. If anyone has run a really good traditional campaign and has some good results to show for it, it is the Byrne. Trump obviously is not running a traditional campaign. Now, he does have the results to show for what he is doing, but it is not traditional in the sense that it is inoffensive to people's sensibilities. Certainly that's been thrown out the window a long time ago. I think what Trump is doing, like I have said before, he understands that politics is a great deal like professional wrestling, and he is conducting it as such. And the results we'll see. We will see the results. But this going back and forth that Cruz and Trump are now engaged in over the wives and the lies and the articles and all of that is obviously not good for anybody but the Democrats. All right. Now, having said that, let me back up for a minute and say this. What Trump is doing here is not just directed at Ted Cruz. Let me make this very clear. He is making Cruz an example. He is making an example of Cruz. And the example is this. You mess with me, you mess with my wife, this is what you're going to get. And he's sending the message to everyone. Everyone. This is not just for Ted Cruz. This is for everyone. That if they intend to go down that road with him, you listening, Hillary? You listening, Clinton campaign? That if you intend to go down that road with him, he's going to get right ugly right back with you. And he's going to have no qualms about it. And as such, it's not going to hurt him. It will hurt those who try to engage in that sort of thing with him. In terms of the National Enquirer article, in the name of journalistic integrity, I broke down and plopped down $5 for one. I had not picked up even a National Enquirer. I bet in 30 years, my mom used to buy one every now and then when it has stories about big stars on there. And, but I hadn't even, lifted the finger, but I got one and there wasn't much to the story. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, and neither should have Ted Cruz. But then there is this. They're the ones who caught John Edwards, and they've caught a few other people, too. Now, I'm not saying there's anything out there at all, and there was nothing at all in this article other than to say that this is political mudslinging. That was about the most enlightening statement in there. And by the way, it does quote Roger Stone. And Roger Stone, as I've told you on the show before, is a hired gun. He's a hired garbologist. Garbologist meaning he's been hired by numerous campaigns to get dirt on their opponents. And one of the fellas that he used to work closely with was a guy by the name of Lee Atwater. And Lee Atwater was the head garbologist for a fella by the name of George H.W. Bush. Yeah, George H.W. Bush hired garbologists. They all hire garbologists, it would appear. And in terms of the original use, if you will, of the GQ photograph of Melania Trump, even though the Cruz campaign better not have had anything directly involved with it, I am sad to say these are the types of things that Jeff Rowe is known for doing. Now, some of you might be out there going, well, who's Jeff Rowe? Jeff Rowe, R-O-E, is the campaign manager for the Cruz campaign. So they're all playing dirty, folks, each and every one of them. And it's going to get just as ugly as it's been, and maybe even uglier. Unless somebody steps back and says, I'm not going to go down that road anymore. I'm going to focus on winning this campaign and winning the hearts and minds of the American people with my ideas. There's a little suggestion for you campaigners out there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Abe Katzman join us live from Jerusalem. So please stay with the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries, and it's time for Abe Katzman to come to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, how you doing this evening? How are things over there?
Things are going okay, and I'm going okay.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Let's start with the Brussels terrorist attack, and then over the weekend there was another one in Pakistan, and both of these attacks were directed at Christians. I think in particular in Pakistan, they obviously, well, that now that I believe they're stating that's what they were doing. They were going after Christians who were celebrating in a children's park on a Sunday, and then in Brussels they were going after Christians who were traveling back and forth around Europe, and in particular coming to America. First of all, were any Jewish citizens, were any Israelis killed in the attack? And your thoughts in general?
It's a good question about the Israelis. I believe one may have been wounded. I don't think any were killed in Brussels. And of course, there aren't a whole lot of Israelis in parks in Pakistan. It's bad and it's getting worse. However, there are all kinds of reports that Europe has been discovering webs of terror cells and that they've been breaking these up. They've been making a lot of arrests, in particular over the weekend. There were arrests in Italy, Netherlands, France, and even Israel uncovered an ISIS cell in Jerusalem, in East Jerusalem, that was planning on attacking the various countries' embassies and consulates. There are a couple of interesting things. One is that these countries suddenly are reaching out to Israel. They, in terms of both preventing terror attacks and also, I think, just trying to tap into Israeli intelligence. And in fact, there are reports that Israeli intelligence has already apparently prevented a number of attacks in Europe. I think sometimes it's a giveaway when they refer to friendly sources, friendly intelligence agencies. Very often, I think that means Israel, but they don't want to say Israel.
I assume the Israeli
not good.
I assume the Israeli intelligence authorities are just fine with that too, not necessarily getting the announcement that they got credit for it. But one thing you said they discovered an ISIS cell in Jerusalem. But this attack in Pakistan was carried out by a Taliban terrorist cell, and obviously the Islamic State has been getting most of the press lately, but there are numerous other cells out there, and of course you have Hezbollah and Hamas right there surrounding you, along with the Palestinian Authority, there is one common thread amongst them all. And that is that they're...
Really, I can't figure out what that is. Can you explain?
Well, you would think maybe the president would see it, but he evidently doesn't. obviously those times are going to change if a Republican gets elected. But really, if a Democrat gets elected, it's just going to be the same old as far as that story goes. But it's even worse, and because you pointed out to me that Al-Qaeda has gotten their hands on a little something that could change this thing dramatically.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda, at least in Yemen, apparently has gotten a hold of some sophisticated surface-to-air missiles. They've gotten the SA-7, which is a Russian shoulder-fired missile, but it's a very good one. And apparently they took out a United Arab Emirates fighter, a Mirage fighter, in Yemen with this. The big question is, if Al-Qaeda in Yemen has it, how long will it take before all the other, before their various other branches have it, before the other jihadi groups have it? And you've got, besides the, you know, you from Israel's standpoint, you've got Hezbollah, you've got Hamas, you've got the Palestinians, and even in Syria, there are these different Al-Qaeda groups, these militias that are right near Israel's border. So far, they have not turned their attention to Israel, but who knows? They're ISIS, you know. I mean, they're Al-Qaeda. They're not Zionists. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Real quick, with these shoulder-fired missiles, could they hit an airliner at full altitude, or would they have to hit them on the approach or the landing? I mean,
I think they take off the landing. I think they have to do it at somewhat lower altitudes, but I don't know. And
all right, speaking of going on, let's go on with our conversation with Abe Katzman, who's coming to us live tonight from Jerusalem. Thank you for listening, folks, to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Abe, I was interested to see that, at least according to the Palestinian Authority, it was Israel who was responsible for the terrorist attack in Brussels. How's that supposed to...
Well, that's the Palestinian Authority for you. That tells you a lot about their orientation.
Yeah.
To begin with, they blame Israel and the United States for creating ISIS. I'm not sure they actually explain how it happened or why Israel would have created ISIS. But anyway, they claim that ISIS is like a tool of Israel.
Right. I've seen some of those stories.
So they point out that these attacks happened just at a time when Europe and the European Union is very strongly supporting the creation of a Palestinian state and supporting boycotts of products produced by Israelis in the West Bank.
Yep.
So they hit Brussels. They hit the headquarters of the EU. And that indicates that this was Israel trying to undermine the EU's pro-Palestinian positions. These types of things had come out often from the Palestinian Authority. We kind of roll our eyes whenever it happens, but even though we shouldn't, I mean, it's very serious that this is what they say. They also accused Israel for similar reasons of the November attacks in Paris. They also said that Israel was behind that. It's really kind of sick, but
you really
have to keep in mind, this is who you're dealing with. This is who President Obama wants to run a state right next to Israel. Good luck.
This is sicker in the sense than, say, what the often wrong Reverend Wright was saying, that the United States chickens were coming home to roost after 9/11, that we caused it because of things we had done throughout history. What they're saying is literally not that United States actions in Iraq somehow, you know, created the mistrust and the hatred that somehow resulted in the Islamic State. What they are saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the United States and Israel literally created ISIS and has been providing them with arms and munitions and the whole nine yards.
That seems to be what they're saying. It's really unbelievable, and yet they may actually believe it. I wonder sometimes whether they believe these things. I think they have to believe it on a certain level in order to come up with this stuff, because who else would even think along these lines? But this is who's running the show in the, amongst the Palestinians, and who the entire world is rallying behind to govern a Palestinian state.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, and if that perception, which is their reality, is so, how would you go about changing it? Because you know the evidence is so clear, and yet the conclusions they are drawing are so wrong.
Well, you realize that they're steeped from infancy, practically, in all sorts of anti-Israel and anti-Jewish propaganda, that the Jews are powerful and manipulative and control the world and kill and murder and are the worst creatures ever and are the sons of pigs and monkeys, down the line. And it's really bad, and it's not going to change overnight. Even if you'd overturn the current Palestinian incitement machine, the education system, the television and radio, it would still take a long time before the people who have been exposed to this and only this might come around, or that a new generation would come up. It really is just not reasonable to expect that there's going to be any kind of radical change there overnight. It can take years. I think that what the Palestinian Authority has done really since Oslo, since 1993, has just pushed any kind of potential peace agreement off for probably another generation.
You tell me that Israelis have been, is it asked or ordered or what, to leave Turkey, and why?
They have been urged. I think that's the word that they're using, at least the English translation. Apparently, their Israeli intelligence shows that ISIS has more plots going in Turkey, and that they are aimed particularly at Jews. What these threat levels actually mean, but they said they raised the threat level there to what they call a high concrete threat. And in fact, the Turkish police have even been warning of attacks against churches and synagogues. And it's not just Israel. Germany evidently closed its embassy in Turkey and also urged all of its German citizens to get out.
Wow. That last week when we spoke Monday, the candidates were at the AIPAC conference and all giving speeches. This was prior to Brussels, but each in their own way, I believe, addressed these sort of things. Have you had a chance to take in the speeches or the transcripts of them, and did any of them stand out to you?
First, Ted Cruz was excellent.
Yeah, he was. It was a strong speech. Yeah, I saw it. It was a strong speech.
He just hit the right buttons.
Yeah,
and it came across as real. He seemed knowledgeable about what he was talking about. Donald Trump did a pretty good job, also.
I thought he started off a little shaky, but he ended with a bang. I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, he's. I think it was actually pretty reassuring to a lot of people, because there had been so many people stressing his kind of unfortunate statement about being neutral,
right,
regarding Israel and the Palestinians. Even though, I mean, I think it was pretty clear that he was talking about how to conduct negotiations.
Right.
He wasn't talking about actually what kind of foreign policy stance to have.
Right.
The others, Kasich was good. Hillary was pretty good, but she's phony. So nobody, you know, I don't know why you should believe anything that she's going to say.
She went
on and talked about enforcing the Iran deal and how it's going to be so tough, that she's going to be so tough on Iran. She hasn't been tough on Iran at all. She wasn't the Secretary of State. She basically helped prop up the mullahs in 2009.
And it was while she was Secretary of State that the secret negotiations with Iran were going on, right?
That's right. That's right. That's where it all started.
Yeah.
So she's got a lot of her hands on her fingerprints on an awful lot of the bad stuff that's out there now. What was interesting to me was Bernie Sanders.
I was going to ask.
He wasn't at AIPAC,
right.
But he gave a speech on the Middle East and on policy toward Israel, and he was, frankly, not very pro-Israel. But I'll say this for him. He was honest. He didn't pander. He's a true believer that you have to. I mean, he's a real leftist and a believer that the downtrodden Palestinians have gotten a raw deal from the Israelis, and that the Israelis, even though they were being attacked with rockets last summer, that they reacted with excessive force.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that he had said before, and he's doubling down on them, and he believes them. I don't like what he stands for, but I like the fact that at least he's honest about it, which is more than I can say for Hillary.
And I think that's why he's doing as well as he's doing. You know, authenticity is going to go a long way this year, whether that authenticity is good or bad. People are looking for real. They're looking for, they don't want the phony, they don't want the fake, they don't want the liars. They want somebody that, well, at least I know where he stands. And Bernie will tell you where he stands, and he's, as you say, he's unabashed about it, and I think that has a lot to do with his success.
I think so. I can look. I don't want him to win, but I respect him.
Yeah, obviously not. Yeah, obviously not. And along those lines, is there concern growing in Israel the way this U.S. election is going?
There is some. I think most of the concern they've started paying attention. I think the assumption is still that Hillary is gonna walk away with it. I don't know whether that's a reasonable assumption or not, but that's the assumption. So I don't think they're really worried about Sanders yet. But if he keeps doing well, there's a lot to worry about from Israel's standpoint. Everything from those statements that we talked about to who his advisors on the Middle East are, to his consultations with J Street. I think we once spoke about James Zogby, the head of the Arab Anti-Defamation League or something, very radically anti-Israel. And Lawrence Wilkerson, who's a former Pentagon person who, when Syria dropped chemical weapons on its own people, he suggested that it was actually Israel doing it as part of a false flag operation. These are not friends of Israel.
No, indeed.
And that could be a problem. I think they're kind of scratching their heads, wondering what the story is going to be with Donald Trump. That's what I find when I go everywhere. You know, Abe, what's the deal with Trump? They all want to know.
I hear the same thing. And of course, you don't know what to say. It's just, you know, stand by. We'll do something else.
Your guess is as good as mine. Nobody really knows what he plans on doing, or if what he plans on doing today is what he'll plan on doing tomorrow. So it's, you know, he's kind of a wild card. Again, this AIPAC speech, I think, soothed some nerves. I think people were getting maybe more worried than they should have been, and
right.
I think that this helped smooth things over a little bit. I did see some numbers, I mean, you know, for whatever these are worth, that apparently the American Jewish community, which is, of course, always very liberal, the favorable ratings for Sanders is at 61%, Clinton at 60%, Trump at 24 and Ted Cruz at 20.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Ted Cruz is behind Donald Trump. But that says a lot about his, you know, his real conservative credentials.
These are
not conservatives who are giving those approval ratings.
You're right. You're exactly right. You got to know who you're talking to there. There was a Supreme Court decision in Israel you alerted me to, having to do with the natural gas. A lot of people may not remember, but Israel has struck it big in terms of natural gas fields. And is oil involved too? And what's going on with this deal?
Well, this is it's primarily natural gas. These are natural gas fields.
Okay.
And Israel may be blowing it. That's what it looks like. Understand that the Supreme Court here is a highly politicized organization, and because of the way the justices are chosen, it's self-perpetuating. You end up with a real left-wing lock on the court, and because they're also they're activists, they think that they have a say about everything. So even when there's some kind of economic deal struck between the government and a couple of energy companies, they step in, and in this case, they struck down what's really like the central tenet of it. In order to make it worthwhile for the companies to actually get the gas out of the ground, they need certain things. There was something called a stability clause, which is where they said that Israel wouldn't. They got an agreement that for 10 years, Israel would not change the pricing on them, and that Israel would not change the regulatory structure. They wouldn't, for instance, start up with them about monopolies or anything like that.
Right.
So they were going to go ahead, and the court struck it down on ridiculous grounds, if you ask me. This is Noble Energy. It's an American company,
right,
along with an Israeli company called Delek. They're the ones who took a gamble and invested in trying to find it, and they got it. And then the Israeli government, essentially the left in Israel, suddenly wants to change the terms. Once they've already done this, and will want to do it again, they really want to squeeze every bit of profit out.
Uh-oh. Did we just lose Abe? Okay. All right. Well, that's Abe Katzman. He comes to us live from Jerusalem. We were just about to wrap it up anyway, but he's a great columnist. You can find his work at abekatzman.com. We have his latest article in our latest newsletter, which just went out. So abekatzman.com, that's Katzman with an S. And we appreciate Abe, of course, being on our show, and nowhere else are you going to get this in-depth, insightful look into what's going on in Israel, Israeli politics, and the Middle East in general than you get right here every Monday with Abe Katzman. Okay, we'll go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we have more to go this hour, and then we got a whole nother hour to go of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Bernie and the Mets.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for being with us out there. 407-774-8255 is the number. Donald Trump faced off with a Wisconsin conservative radio talk show host this morning by the name of Sykes, and it got pretty exciting as they went back and forth. And this guy, you know, I got to take my hat off to him. He kind of gave Trump what for. He was saying, "Don't you know you're acting like a 4-year-old? You know, what would you tell your children? Don't you shouldn't be acting better than this?" And but Trump was Trump. Trump stood his ground. He took it and he dished it out. Evidently, most of the radio talk show hosts in Wisconsin don't care too much for the Donald. And so they've been giving him a hard time on the air up there. Perhaps that has something to do with Ted Cruz in this poll that we saw last week being 1 point ahead. In other words, they being in a dead heat in Wisconsin. Cruz 36, Trump 35, Kasich trailing in the distance. Nonetheless, Trump is Trump, and he's going to continue to fight this thing. He's going to fight it tough, but at the end of the day, he is intent on winning, right? Winning. And that's really what this is all about, the primary process. And the convention, once again, the Republican Party evidently is making plans on keeping both Trump and Cruz out of this thing, as I've told you repeatedly on the show before, and others have as well. The Republican Party doesn't want anything to do, really, with either one of them. And that's why you get remarks like Lindsey Graham saying, well, we're going to lose anyway, so I'd soon lose with Cruz. You know, if we were planning on losing, I must say Cruz is the last one that I would want to lose with. If I was planning, now this is just if I was planning on losing, I would rather lose with Trump. I'm not planning on losing, but I mean, if we're going to start using that sort of line of thinking, that line of reasoning, that logic, then let's think about this for a minute. And this is one reason why I think Cruz is not quite ready yet. If you lose with Cruz, what have you lost with? You have lost with the most conservative message that we've had in a long time, if maybe not in our lifetimes. If you lose with Trump, you've lost with Trump. He's not a conservative. The Republican Party has rejected him. So if it's a Trump defeat, it's a Trump defeat. But if it's a Cruz defeat, it's a conservative defeat. And then the establishment will go, well, we told you. Now, next time we're going to have us another Mitt Romney, aren't we? And all the conservatives just go, yeah, I guess so. We really want to win. So if we're going to think that way, let's just play it on out. I don't like to think that way. I like to think about winning. and I think most of you do as well. And that's why I still, to this day, and I wish these guys would get their acts together, because to me, the Trump-Cruz ticket is the winning ticket. It's got it all. It's got the excitement. It's got the unpredictability. It's got the boring and the predictable. It's got it all. But the way this thing is going, it sure don't look like... It's going to come back around that way. But I tell you what, these two guys need to smarten up and look at this and say, look, if we keep fighting one another like this, neither one of us is going to get it. Somebody else is going to get it. So maybe we ought to pool our little brains here together and see if we can't figure this thing out and work this thing out. I don't know. We shall see. This is going to be a rough and tumble, campaign from here on out. When Trump didn't win Ohio, it meant that this thing is going to be nasty and it's going to be drawn out. And that's the one thing I think you can book. Okay, we got to take another break. When we come back, you'll have another full hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And you got one more week, just one, of Hugh Hewitt in the evenings, because next week he goes into the morning slot. That's right. Bill Bennett's 6 to 9 a.m. slot will become Hugh Hewitt's. We wish him all the luck. Break a leg, Hugh. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show if you are just now tuning us in. We really appreciate you being out there listening to the American Adversaries as we go into prime time out of drive time, or is it drive time out of prime time, or it's just both. All right. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. I am Christopher Hart. Joining me in the studio now is Mike Bass. Mike, how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I've been listening to you all the way over here, so looking forward to a good afternoon.
All right. And we've got our poll question up for today, which has to do with the Tampa Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays, of course, are going to start the regular season Sunday along with the rest of Major League Baseball. And FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, will be carrying the Rays baseball games once again this year. And what then is the question, and where are we at now with the poll responses, Nick?
All right. We're asking, how will the Tampa Bay Rays do this season? And we have three choices. Will they make the playoffs? Will they not make the playoffs? Or will they win the World Series? Right now, not too many optimistic fans out there. 0% for will they win the World Series this year. But we're still pretty close on the whole playoff question. Now 60% say they will not make the playoffs this year. 40% chiming in that they will.
A little bit of pessimism out there. We'll see. Okay, so you have until the end of the show, and Nick will give us the final results before we go off the air tonight. And don't forget, there'll be a brand new poll question tomorrow, and each and every time you go in to do the poll, you can simultaneously register for that 4,000 sweepstakes bucks. All right, tax day bonus sweepstakes. Somebody is going to have a sweet sweepstakes on tax day. $4,000 is up for grabs, and you can register once per day. All right, and once again, Nick, for the folks who didn't catch it in the first hour, tell folks whether they got an Apple or an Android, what's the best, most sure way to be able to download that app so they can participate?
Well, the easiest way, if you don't want to go searching in your app store, you could always just go to am660theanswer.com, which I hope is one of your favorites anyway.
Yep.
And head there on your mobile device, then just click on the banner that says get your mobile app here, and then just select, do you have an Android device or do you have an Apple device? It'll take you right to the download page, and you could get it right there.
Just that easy, just that sweet. And real quick, Facebook. What's the Facebook page?
Yeah, we're WORL on Facebook, 660 WORL on Twitter as well. So you can follow our social media pages. Like, we just, in case you forget, we just tweeted out that Abe Katzman's on the show. So, we give a little programming reminders as well.
You're uptown. All right. Thank you, Nick. Once again, he'll give us the final poll results before we go off the air tonight. And I hope the Rays do pretty good this year. We'll see. We'll see. All right. So the Capitol shooting, just a quick update on that. Still haven't gotten any final word as to whether there have been actual fatalities. Evidently not. But we just don't know too much more about it. But it seems to me that didn't we go through this before? Wasn't it a few years ago that there was a shooting up around the Capitol building?
Yeah, there was.
And I thought they had put in security measures to ensure that it didn't happen again.
Well, of course, of course. And of course, it's a big Obama's opportunity to bash the Second Amendment again and try to take guns away, because it's obviously the guns' fault that whatever happened. It was the guns' fault, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, the guns' fault. And every time, of course, he does that, the gun sales skyrocket.
Right.
And the gun manufacturers go laughing all the way to the bank. But that might change if Hillary or Bernie gets elected, because they would, of course, appoint Supreme Court justices that could put an end to that laughing all the way to the bank.
That's sort of cool. They could drop the stocks just as much as Obama drove the stocks up.
Exactly. You're exactly right about that. The economy is still just bouncing along. I don't know if you saw this the other day, Mike, but the government announced that the GDP for the fourth quarter of last year is getting ready to be revised again for, I think, the third time. And the economic outlook for this year, those estimates are now being revised downward. In other words, the GDP is not going to be as high, and the economy not moving along as quickly. Surprise to you?
No, it's not. And what gets me is that I've advocated for a long time that the federal government should be barred from keeping any kind of records. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what you're talking about, the adversarial relationship that we have with our government, you know, information works better when lots of people can put it together and come out with what's the truth. And our government uses it for political reasons all the time. And economic, whether it be economic, whether it has to do with employment, no matter what it is, inflation, it's all a bunch of lies. Everybody knows this stuff isn't true, you know, and they just play with it. And they're never going to report what they want, what the truth is the first time.
Yeah. Well, what happens is there is no real efficient, effective way to collect the data, comprise the data, and release the data. In other words, for instance, employment information comes from tax rolls, and it comes from various sources that they then try to somehow compile. And because these things are backwards looking, right, they then try to extrapolate from that trends going forward. And that's where the lying begins, you see, because there's no way that they can, in a timely fashion, put out these numbers. Which is why your suggestion, you know, why bother doing it? Because all you're really doing is confusing the markets, confusing the free flow of capital, and creating political, you know, expediency in the process.
And if the private, you know, the private sector would do it because it's valuable to the private sector to have this information. And if someone's not doing it right, they're going to get found out. I mean, you know, and you'll have competition, adversarial competition, which means that you'll get pure numbers, you get true numbers. And even, I mean, the employment number, we're talking, let's say it's 5%. We know the participation rate, which is something you never heard about 10, 15 years ago. There was no participation rate because we actually used to keep track of what the employment is. Now we find out there's people not even looking for jobs, quote unquote. So they aren't counted. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I know. And just imagine if this had been a Republican administration that put out these bogus numbers, right? We would, of course, know just exactly how many people were unemployed and that the unemployment rate is actually closer to 14 or 15% than 5%. We'd be hearing that all the time and how they're lying. And when it comes to the GDP, the government has recognized that there is what they call an error rate. Mm. And the error rate, they guess to be at 30%. I wish I could get an error rate, you know, paying the IRS. Well, yeah, I'll give it to you somewhere within 30% or so, right? I'll give you 30% and I'll keep this. Obviously, as you say, these numbers are used more for political reasoning, making political arguments, than they are to advance real knowledge about where the economy is and where the economy is going.
Yeah, I mean, unemployment, we used to assume that 5% unemployment was full employment because people, you know, changing jobs. And George Bush, George W. Bush, had it down to close to 5%. And the Democrats were screaming about how bad the economy was. I'm thinking, it can't get any better. No, you can't even find a job. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know. It was. We were in constant recession with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. And, to Bush's detriment, he didn't make his case effectively enough.
Really didn't.
And that's what I believe led in part to, you know, Obama being able to get elected so easily. Bush never defended himself. And as such, he never defended conservatism. He never defended conservative economics. He never tried to explain, you know, real economics, and he knows. He has a tough time saying it, but he knows what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the whole point is that you get it out there in the dialogue. You see, this is one thing that Trump does very effectively. He gets issues into the dialogue. For right or wrong, you know, he gets them out into the dialogue. And then people have to talk about it and they have to discuss it. And therein lies the opportunity to get the argument out, to get the truth out, to make your case. But when things aren't even discussed at all or only in passing, it never, you know, the case is never made.
It didn't. And I think what we're seeing is 8 years ago when Obama was running around talking about hope and change, I mean, people wanted something different.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, they didn't know what they wanted. But it was mostly the left that got so excited about this, and they were looking for hope and change. And it didn't matter what the change was. It was just going to be change. But Obama did a great job of messaging. And that's what Trump has done 8 years later.
Yep.
He's messaging the real – the people understand what he's saying. And it's funny, it's the other side, the other group of people now wanting change. And they're enthused about the change.
The hope and change, and yeah.
But you still have some of the Bernie people that were probably running around with the hope and change for Obama. So I think everybody's just ticked off now. It's just everybody wants change, but nobody knows exactly what the change is supposed to look like.
Well, everybody has their own idea of it, I guess. And they oftentimes come in conflict with one another. But you're right. This is – people are – of a mindset that they want to go, that this country is going in the wrong direction, and they want it to go in a different direction. Now, for some people, that different direction may be more to the left.
Mm-hmm.
For others of us, it is far much more to the right.
Yeah.
But the point is, people are antsy. I like to say, the natives are restless, and they're going to remain restless until they feel like, you know, something's being done.
Or somebody's listening to them. That's real.
Exactly. Exactly. That somebody is representing them and listening. Okay, which is what we try to do around here. So stick around for more of the American Adversaries. We'll take a quick break. And then, of course, you can join us on the other side as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks so much for being with us out there on this fine Monday afternoon here in Central Florida. I am Christopher Hart. Mike Bass is in the studio with me right now. Of course, Mike is one of the sponsors of our show. He's also a great contributor to the content on the show. And we also have another great friend on the line with us right now. And, of course, that is Grant Malloy, running for Seminole County, clerk of the courts and auditor. Grant, how you doing?
Hey, Chris, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being out there. And how's things going?
Well, it's doing great. I wanted to give an update because we did it over the Easter weekend. It did get covered on the Orlando Politics website, but we were the first campaign in the clerk's race to turn in. We turned in 3,596 voter signatures on Good Friday there, which should be more than enough. It's almost 1,000 more than is needed to get on the ballot for August 30th. So I wanted to call and let you know, and I'm just we're really excited about passing that goal.
Well, congratulations. And you say you're the first?
We are the first, and if I can blow the horn for my volunteers, I know Mike was out there on Election Day also getting signatures.
Yeah,
he's a great guy. And we did this only with volunteers. The other campaigns have high price consultants. They're like doing robocalls, doing these, you know, mass drops of bags at your door. We got the 3,600 signatures talking with people one at a time. So, you know, we talk about the establishment in the federal politics. There's also the establishment in the local politics, and I've never been part of that, you know, the insiders. I've always represented the people. And this is a great testament that when people get active, they can make great accomplishments. So that is very tough to do, to get 3,600 signatures. And we did that just strictly talking with people one-on-one.
Mike, you were out there on Election Day.
I was, and I was watching Grant, learning from Grant. I've been involved in a lot of campaigns throughout the years, and Grant is a master at this. I mean, he really understands how to run an efficient campaign. And you know, what I love about it is he has listened to the people. He's in front of the people. He is he's being a part of the community, and he's not he's showing what type of public servant he's going to be, which you've already seen as he was a two-term county commissioner. And I'm just really excited about his campaign and about him being elected.
Well, you know, Grant is a people person.
Yes.
He's very congenial. He's very amiable. And, you know, anybody that meets him is going to be able to, you know, talk with him. He's just, Grant, you're just really good with your people skills there. And obviously that'll work good to get elected, but it'll do you some good when you're in office, too, should you make it.
That's true, because this office is basically, you're the gateway for equal justice to the court system. You know, the judges don't run it. Police don't run it. Attorneys don't run the courthouse. It's an independent person who represents the people. So I want to carry that legacy that Marion Morris has done and do that. And you're also the taxpayer watchdog. And if anybody knows my reputation, it's one for looking out for our tax dollars and making sure they're not wasted. The comptroller's office is very important with that. So definitely, I appreciate you allowing me to put a plug on. And if people can help out, and I do need help, and I need your vote August 30th, but visit grantmalloy.com, and that's one L in Malloy, grantmalloy.com. I need your help. If you can make a small donation, there's a link. If you can help with a sign or a bumper sticker, we can get one of those to you. If you're able to knock on doors on a weekend, we'd love to have your help out there. We always give people lunch and treat them well, and we're having a volunteer thank you cookout on the 9th for everybody that's been helping out. So if you've been helping out, I'll be sending you an invite to that. And if you'd like to help out, you're welcome to come too on Saturday, 5 to 7. We're going to have a cookout and just thank everybody. It's my way of giving back to the people who have been helping out so much. And then it's just on to win on August 30th. So I sure appreciate your help.
The Marianne Morse, who is the current office holder, has endorsed Grant, and that's always a big plug. But Grant, let me ask you this: now that August 30th, that's a primary, isn't it?
It is a primary. This is a Republican primary in Seminole County.
Once again, are you going to have to be in the Republican Party to be able to vote for you?
It depends how. There's different election rules in Florida. But to make sure you can, I would suggest make sure you are Republican to vote, because it could be a closed primary, it could be an open primary. We won't know till June, depending on what the rules are. It gets kind of complex.
Tell me about it. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say Florida has very, very tough election laws. It's very tough to get on the ballot. You know, for this office, if you didn't get the signatures, you would have to pay a filing fee of about $9,000.
Wow.
And this is becoming a problem because, what you know, who can do that? You either have to be politically connected or, you know, really.
Well, I think that's the idea.
Hard.
Isn't that the idea? It's just another way for the political parties to sort of control the process and not allow, you know, somebody that they don't like to get in there.
It really is. And, you know, this is the office that oversees our tax dollars. So I will look and make sure things are done correctly, which is why the insiders really don't want me there, you know. So.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Marion Morris is a great endorsement. I sure appreciate her help. She's kind of a legacy in Seminole County, so I would like to continue on her tradition of being that taxpayer watchdog. Enhance the office a bit with some new business ideas, which I could talk about later. But yep. GrantMalloy.com is a website. If people can help out, please log on and get in touch with me.
Yep. Grant, we'll have to have you in the studio so we can go over your full agenda. All right.
Awesome.
Well, you're doing great, and, of course, you got my backing and the backing of the American adversaries, and we wish you all the luck in the world, because Seminole County could have no better person for that office than you.
Well, thank you, Chris, and thanks for all your help, and you guys are the best.
Well, I'd like to have just one thing. You said they can make a small donation, but I do believe he will accept large donations as
I
well.
I will take large donations, too.
Absolutely.
And medium size.
And medium size.
And medium, anything.
All right, what's that website again, Grant?
GrantMalloy.com, GrantMalloy.
All right, Grant. All right, thanks again for being on
the
show.
Thanks, Chris and Mike.
Yep. Thanks, Grant.
Look forward to having you back soon. And I'm serious, folks. If you're in Seminole County, please vote for Grant. You will definitely be doing yourself a huge favor. I just wish we had somebody like him down there in Orange County. All right, I'll be left out in the cold, but you don't have to be. All right, when we come back, we'll have more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Don't forget our poll question. How are the Tampa Rays going to do this year? You think they're going to have a winning season? Are they going to make it the playoffs? Let us know. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We appreciate you being out there on this Monday afternoon after a sort of wet weekend here in Central Florida where we got some hail in the area.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, I hope it didn't hit your car.
It missed me.
Yeah. Boy, there was a nasty storm, though, that went just skirted just north of here Saturday night. Man, it was nasty. Anyway, 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get back into the conversation, I'd like to remind you folks to please take advantage. If you are an employer and you've got some employees, then you need to really go to the Bring Small Businesses Back Tour. This event is... this is kicking off a nationwide tour here in Central Florida. It's coming up a week from this Thursday. That's April the 7th. And it's going to be right up the street here at the Hilton Orlando, which is right here in Altamont Springs, actually. And the doors open at 6 p.m. The presentation will actually begin at 6:30. It's being hosted by our very own Mike Gallagher, national syndicated radio host, who's on these stations every Monday through Friday morning. I was going to say Sunday through Friday, but that's us. Monday through Friday mornings from 9 to noon. And he's going to be with Frank Luntz. And Frank, of course, is the well-known pollster and focus group guru who you see on Fox quite often. And along with them is going to be Alfredo Ortiz, who is the chief executive officer of Job Creators Network. And Job Creators Network is an organization that was set up by the fella who is, doggone, his name has just slipped my mind. It'll come to me here in a second. One of the co-founders of Home Depot. And this is an organization that what they're trying to do is empower you as an employer with information and words and phrases, if you will, that you can use as you dialogue, as you talk with others, and that will help you get your point across in terms of the needs of small business. And so please do take advantage of this. It is free. It's not a sales event. Nobody's going to try to sell you anything. But you do have to have tickets to go to it. And go to am660theanswer.com to get your tickets. You go there and register, and the seating is limited. So please sign up and sign up soon so you make sure you get in. That's am660theanswer.com. Bring Small Businesses Back Tour. And, you know, small businesses have been getting really crunched. Corporations have done pretty well under the Obama presidency.
Yes, they really have, but small businesses is who employs this country.
It is.
It's really what drives the economy, and this is where we're going to revitalize our economy through really small businesses, not the giant corporations.
No, I mean that will help too. I mean, if we could lower the corporate income tax rate,
right,
and bring investment back to this country, but the nice thing about corporations as they ramp up, they need the support of small businesses,
right?
The B2B businesses, the businesses that provide them with the services that they want to subcontract out, that they don't want to do themselves,
right,
or that they can't do for themselves.
Right.
And so you get this ripple effect. But at the end of the day, it is small businesses that are the backbone of America and do the employing.
And I was on a group in Seminole County that was looking at trying to bring business to Seminole County. And they were talking about how they had done a lot of work to bring one large company. They spent a lot of money trying to bring one large company. And then they started focusing on bringing small business. They created 2 to 3 times more jobs in a year than that one large company did, and the county spent so much less. I mean, growing small business is a multiplier for growing our economy.
And it's kind of the same way with money, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
If you go putting all your money in one basket, you're sure to get bad results.
Right.
Disappointing results anyway.
Well, that's one thing I teach clients is that they think, you know, if you understand how money works, and if you think about a bank. I mean, people think banks make most of their money because of the spread they get when they get the money from the Fed and then try and lend it out. But, yeah, they make a lot of money doing that. But that's not how they make their money. How they make their money is what's called velocity of money. the ability to turn money over. So as you make your payments and you and as you do your business, you deposit money in the bank, and so X amount of money creates more money coming through the doors, which they turn around and lend out. And so money is in motion. It's the money in motion, making money on the money that comes in and keeps coming in and keeps going around and around. That's why banks want loans paid off quicker, because they can make more money and the money coming in. And that's why our economy works, because money has to keep moving. People that let their money sit somewhere, they're missing out on the multiplier effect of money.
And if the banks take advantage of it, individuals could take advantage of it too, in a different way, though, I take it.
They do. And the way you take advantage of it as individuals, obviously, you can't do the same thing that banks can do.
Right.
But what you can do is you can use the same money to do several things for you. Because the problem is we tend to segregate our money. This money's for this, this money's for this, this money's for this. Well, if you can figure out how to take money and do more than one thing with the same amount of money, then what you're doing is you're multiplying your money in a way to do that. Too many people invest their money, let it sit there and just accumulate and keep reinvesting the dividends or income or whatever. That's not the efficient way to grow wealth. That is not. That's what we're told to do, but that's just not the way to do that.
Well, you know, a lot of people are intimidated by, you know, investing their money, and that's why most people look for someone else to do it, which is probably, in most people's cases, the wise thing to do, but you need to find the right person to, you know, give you advice along those lines.
Oh, definitely. I mean, people are... Most people are good at what they do, which is to build a business and make money, you know, what they're doing.
Or work for somebody else or whatever.
Or whichever, but they learned a trade or grow a business or whatever, but how to manage that money and keep that money and grow that money is a whole different animal. And the problem is financial institutions don't teach us how to do this, because it's not to their benefit to teach us how to do that.
Right. It's to their benefit to take our money away from us.
That's right.
But, you know, I learned doing taxes and, of course, from my own experiences, that with money, there's sort of two things. There's the making it,
right,
and then there's the keeping it. And those are the two entirely different things, because I know people who can make money hand over fist, but they cannot save not one red cent. They always have to go out, and they may make six figures, and they spend six figures plus. And there's just no way you can get ahead that way. They always got a lot of cool stuff, but they're always, you know, wondering where they're going to get their next, you know, mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And to me, that's insanity. And you're right. We focus on making money, but we don't focus enough on how to save your money and how to make your money grow, how to make your money work, right, like you were saying, rather than just go out and blow it.
Right, right. Because I see people. I was a developer for a number of years, and that is a feast or famine business. And you would see just what you're talking about. Guys knew how to make money when times were good, but they lost it all when times went bad, because they got overextended. They didn't really look at what the market was doing, understand what the market was doing, and so you see in every profession, you see people get overextended. They're not looking ahead. We tend to it's a natural behavior that we tend to believe what's happening today will continue to happen. If things are bad, we believe that that's going to continue. When things are really good, we start extrapolating that this is going to get better and better and better.
Right.
And
how you get these bubbles, like the housing bubble.
That's exactly. And it's happened forever.
And it will continue to.
And it will continue to. I mean, there was a tulip bubble back in Holland in the 15th century or something.
Yeah.
I mean, all this stuff, it's really funny if you go back and read history about this, and people just keep thinking it's going to go on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is, though, you can take advantage of these things.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where really smart people understand, because it's having access to capital is when people can really make money. For instance, in 2008, people were out trying to buy real estate, and they could borrow as much money as they wanted or whatever.
On a signature, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw people that owned 5, 10, 15 houses. You know, they lost every one of them. They had no money in them.
Right.
But what happened was, the people that had money, then at the end of that, they started buying these houses because they dropped 50%.
Yep.
They turned around.
Or more.
Exactly. And they walked in because they had access to capital, and that's how people made a ton of money. That's what happened in the Depression.
Joe Kennedy.
Kennedys and, all these people had cash. They had access to cash. So what did? They made fortunes.
Yeah.
People think when times are good, that's not when money's made. Money's made when times are bad because those are when the opportunities really come out. But you have to have access to capital.
Exactly. And, this is tax season. Now's the time, folks, to start thinking about next year's taxes, obviously. Yeah. But a lot of you folks will get refunds out there. And, of course, most people are going to get a refund. What's the first thing they're going to do?
Buy a car.
They're going to run out and spend it.
Go on vacation. They're going to do something.
But, in fact, there are some areas of the economy that are opportunities right now.
Yeah.
And you could take a little bit of cash and, wisely put that to work, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. But think in terms of always having access to capital. And too many people are thinking, I have to go invest this today. And they're looking. I talk about two tanks. I talk about an investment tank and a savings tank. And the savings tank is not just a tank that sits there and earns 0.2%. A savings tank is a tank you can actually grow money in and consistently year after year after year. But you have access to that money to go use it for investments when there are opportunities. And then when the opportunities are done, you sell them and you put the money back into savings. That's the beauty of having your own access to capital. Very rich people do that.
Yeah, they have this reserve that they put the money to work. After the money has done its work, they put the money back in the reserve, and they just keep cycling it around like that.
That's right.
And, folks, you can do that, too. And you don't have to start out with a lot, but you have to. It's persistence.
It does. It's
consistency and persistence.
Exactly.
Is what makes it all work.
It absolutely does.
And need to talk to a guy like Mike, and he can get you set up. He can help you out with something like that. Prime Quest Wealth Strategies. Prime Quest, it's primequest.com?
It's primequestwealth.com.
Primequestwealth.com. Prime Quest Wealth Strategies. But this economy right now, should we get someone in there that knows what they're doing, lowers the tax rates, cuts back on regulation, and really lets this economy loose, it's going to boom.
I think we have the potential of one of the greatest growth spurts ever, because we need it, because we're going to have to. The only way to get out of where we are is to really grow the economy.
Oh, yeah.
And the
economy
is waiting to grow. It really is. I mean, but you have to have the environment. That is the problem. I mean, one of the reasons that jobs have gone overseas is that we've created an environment, so much regulation, so much pressure on having employees. The cost of having employees is ridiculous in this country. And it kills me to watch these politicians talk about this as if they're disjointed from what's going on. They've caused this with the regulations, with the mandates they put on the employers.
Yeah. California just passed a $15 statewide minimum wage that will be phased in. Statewide, $15. And the public doesn't get, this is not going to be on the ballot. I mean, this is done through the legislature, so it will be done. So what you will see in California is you will begin to see very innovative ways that employers will come up with to do without employees.
Absolutely.
You will have McDonald's where you'll go in, you'll place your own order.
Right.
You won't have somebody at the counter.
They can't afford it.
No. It'll be that or go out of business. Mm-hmm. All right, but we got to take a break. When we come back, we got another segment of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And if you've not got in on today's poll question, please do it now, because we're going to give you the final results real soon. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Why not right now? Give us a call, 407-774-8255, before we get out of here this evening. Don't forget, you got one more week to listen to Hugh Hewitt in the evenings. Then he goes to mornings starting 1 week from today. And Bill Bennett's going to the shelf.
I love Hugh, but boy, I'm going to miss Bill. He is just he's such an icon, isn't he?
He is.
Oh, my gosh. And, what a great guy.
And his style, I just love his style. But, going to miss him. He will not disappear entirely, but he will not be doing his week morning show anymore, weekday show. But Hugh Hewitt will be there, and I trust you're going to like the fellow who will fill in for him as well. I'm looking forward to it. And I've never heard him myself, but I hear good things about him. And I wish I knew his name. Nick will tell us here in a minute, right, Nick? When he gives, okay, was it? Do you got it? He's got. Anyway, he'll give us the full the poop, so to speak, when we get the final poll results for our poll question today. And don't forget, please, to download that free poll app.
Hopefully my boss isn't listening, because I've been promoting this guy for a little while, but the name escapes me as well.
I know, yeah. Anyway, it'll come to us here in a moment. But
I got it right here.
Okay.
Maybe.
I know they've been running the promos.
Of course we have. John Elder? Is that his first name, John?
Yeah, that's it.
John. I know his last name's Elder.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Okay. Anyway, as I said, I've not heard him, but other people that I know have, and they say he's really good. So look forward to that. Real quick, before we get back to the conversation, April 7th is the Bring Small Businesses Back Tour, and we certainly would love for you folks, if you're an employer with employees, to come out and take advantage of that. It's free. Just go to am660theanswer.com. To register and get your free tickets. Seating is limited, so please do that. The doors open for that at 6 p.m. at the Hilton Orlando here in Altamont Springs. Now, that's Thursday next week. Then Saturday next week, I'd like you to join us up at the Wayne Dench Performing Arts Center in Sanford, and we're going to be doing a fundraising concert for the Wounded Officers Initiative, folks. And that's going to be featuring the Solus Bravo Band, and it's a band full of all-star musicians. And the tickets are $23, $25, and $30. You get those tickets at WDPAC, that's for Wayne Dench Performing Arts Center, WDPAC.com, and the doors open for that Saturday evening concert at 6:30. So please join us for both of those events. The one is a fundraiser for Wounded Officers Initiative. The other is free compliments of Job Creators Network and FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. All right.
And Chris, just a real quick correction. Larry Elder.
Okay, that's right. Larry Elder is going to be the host taking over for Hugh Hewitt's show. All right. We were just talking a little bit about economics and money management and that sort of thing. And is it ever too late to start, Mike?
I mean, depends on what you're trying
to
call
it. I know it's never too early.
It's never too early,
sure. We keep hearing these things that Americans, for the most part, don't have any money saved. Right. Most people are living sort of on the edge. Most people couldn't take, a $500 unexpected expense.
Yeah.
But at some point, people do begin to think about retirement. Is it ever too late?
No, I don't think it's never too late, because what you can always do, no matter when you start, you can improve the situation down the road. Can you have it the way you really want it, that you could have if you started when you were 30 or 40 or something? Maybe not, but you can always improve where you are. You can always do that. So, and quite frankly, it's if you understand, if you sit down and make a plan of what you're doing and project out and see where you are, then you can decide. You can effectuate about how much longer you're going to work. You can say, I know if I work X number more years, then I can actually live some sort of a reasonable retirement. But most people, unfortunately, stick their head in the sand. They don't know the answer to the questions of, which I feel like are really four really important questions. Number one is what kind of rate do you need to be earning on your money? Number two, how much money should you be saving? Number three, how long should you work? And the all-important question, if you can't answer those first three, is how much are you going to take a decrease in your lifestyle if you don't do something, if you keep doing what you're doing right now? And that's really the key.
You know? Right. So, you can either begin to put a little something away, or you can learn to live poor.
That's right. That's right.
One way or the other. I mean, but, and you know, even if you start late, every little bit will help.
Yeah, it does. You know, I tell people, because I don't believe there's a magical number. I mean, you see people talk about what's the number? Right. How much money should I? I mean, there's a commercial I hear, shortly.
I know the one you're talking about.
And they say you have to make at least $1 million, you know.
Right.
If you got $1 million, you can retire. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you can retire. That doesn't. I mean, some people may be less than $1 million. Some people it's going to be a lot more than $1 million. There's nothing magical about a particular number. And even if you calculate out what the number is, that we don't do that. What I tell people is I want you to live the best you can. So every time we look at this, we're going to make the best decisions we can to maximize from here forward. So, you know, why plan for the minimalistic place? Let's plan for the most you can possibly do every time you sit down and make those decisions. Let's always be making the best decision at the moment. That's the key.
All right. That's Mike Bass, Prime Quest Wealth Strategies. You can reach him at 407-767-7800, 407-767-7800, or primequestwealth.com. And, of course, Mike's going to be a regular contributor on the show, too. So if you have any questions while he's on the show, feel free to call and ask.
But, and then if you elect Bernie, I won't need to work because I won't have a job anymore. Because Bernie's going to give you everything you need.
None of us will have to work.
Nobody
anymore.
Has to worry. Life will be perfect from there on out, right?
A bed of roses, right? Just forget about all the thorns that'll be with those roses. Right? All right, let's go find out what our final tally for tonight's poll question is. Nick LeCicero.
All right, let me just refresh right here, get the latest results. Our question is, how will the Tampa Bay Rays do this season? Of course, the season kicks off this Sunday. We have all the games right here at AM 660, The Answer. Well, still, Chris, no one got swayed that they're going to be going to the World Series this year, and I think I agree with that. You know, I think they have a decent shot.
Little faith.
I think they have a decent shot at making the playoffs, although I am a Red Sox fan, and they're in the same division, so
that's right.
I really don't want to see the Rays do too much, but apparently most of the audience out there do not think the Rays will make the playoffs. We are at 66% do not. 33% of the audience think the Rays will make the playoffs this season.
Well, one thing that's for sure, there'll be a lot of exciting baseball, and the Rays will be right in the middle of a lot of it, I'm sure. So, okay. All right. Thank you, Nick. And don't forget, folks, tomorrow there'll be a brand new poll question up that we would love to have you participate in. And don't forget, between now and April the 15th, once a day, every day, that includes the weekends, you can register for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. Somebody is going to win $4,000, and I would just love it to be one of you folks who's listening to me right now. All right, but you have to download the free WORL FM AM app, go to the website, or you can register through the website. Excuse me, you don't have to have the app to register for the drawing. You do have to have the app to participate in the poll questions and other things that we'll be doing here at the station. Anyway, we want to thank you for listening tonight. You've been listening to the American Adversaries, and we are just about to announce a great addition to the American Adversaries website. That's right. We're going to be doing some really cool stuff, and we'll be telling you more about that. So keep your ears open, and thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow. Mike, thanks for being
here. Good night. Thank you.
Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. The official radio station of Decision.